All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things, teaching them to keep all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you every day until the end of the world. As I look at the Great Commission, I think of a few things. And as I was looking at the IMB website, on their website right up front says, pray, give, send, go. So I use that. And as we think of praying, Jesus said, I am the authority. So we pray and we ask and we confide and we seek the authority of Christ, because we depend on him and his orders to march on, to give us direction and to take us wherever he leads. So we pray. And then we give. We give to others what has been given to us so gracefully. The Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go out there and give Jesus to others and invest ourselves completely into other people's lives. Sacrifice. And then we send. We send people to the ends of the world, to the end of the world. Not talking about the end in time, but the end in place. And that's what we're doing. And God has given us the pleasure, the opportunity, the privilege to have Wanda here for us to send her. And then it says to go. The commandment is very clear and it's continuous. It's not about Wanda going on a mission trip and coming back and that's done. She went, she came, that's it. No, it's about going, going, going. The command is go, 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 go. Constantly go and share the gospel as we go, whether it is here, there, or anywhere. So let's look at these four things. Pray, give, send, and go. Let's talk about prayer first. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, you see, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. You see, we pray for God's protection. That's one thing we need to pray for ourselves and for Wanda, for our missionaries, for God's protection. See, the enemy is real and there's a spiritual warfare going on. We need to engage in that warfare. And the way we engage in it is not by facing the devil or facing our enemy. We need to turn our faces to God because he conquered already. Amen? We need to stop just facing the enemy and start facing God on our knees and praying for ourselves and for others. Let's not forget that his mission is to kill, destroy, and to steal. But our mission is to rescue and deliver people. In 1949, there's a group of missionaries from Australia that were retired, and they were sitting and praying. All friends, all together, had been in China in some time. And as they were going about their meeting, all of a sudden they felt the urgency to pray right at that moment. And they dropped everything that they were doing and they started praying. And they started praying for a particular person, Hayden Millsap. That name came to mind and said, we need to pray for him right now. And then they just started praying. And after they kind of felt peace at it, they stopped praying for him. Years later, Hayden Millsap returned to Australia from China. And as he met with these people, they asked him about the date and time that they were praying. And guess what he said? Fellas, thank you for your prayers. Because at that same day, at that same time you were praying, we had been gathered by Chinese soldiers and we had guns pointed at us, waiting for the call of the commander to say, shoot. We were about to be slaughtered. And that same time you guys were praying, somebody came through the door and took us out of there. Some government person and took us out of there, and we were saved. Thank you for your prayers. It's amazing what prayer can do. We need to be praying for our missionaries, because while we face the battlefront here, while we face the battle here, they're in the battlefront over there. So we need to be praying for them. And you see, we got to pray not only for their protection, but for God's provision. God is his is our provider. And Wanda said it very clear. She's trusted him, and he's provided so far. And I can see the story, because years ago, we started praying ourselves in order for us to kind of get a move on and go somewhere and share the gospel outside of the confines of Gretna. And somehow, some way, somebody called me and says, hey, I have a visiting pastor from Peru, and he's in town. Would you have him preach at your church, please? And I said, well, okay, tell him to come. It was Pastor Roy. And most of you know Pastor Roy. He came and preached one time. He presented his projects in Peru. We didn't do anything about it, but we prayed. Another year went by. He came back again to our church, and he kept saying, Pastor David, I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking you guys to give anything. I'm just asking that you take the time and come to Peru and visit us and check it out. And we prayed and prayed. We gave him some money, but that was it. And then we thought about it, and we said, well, should we go? Should we not go? What do we do? How do we do this? And God answered another prayer. Who's going to take us there? Wanda showed up. God brought a missionary here to take us there. Amen? And so we did. And for those of you who went to Peru, I want to go back next year. I don't know about you. But wasn't it a great experience? And God has given us the opportunity. He's opened doors. And we want to pray for God to open doors, to provide open doors for Wanda to be sharing the gospel wherever she goes. We want to ask God to provide open doors for us to share the gospel. We prayed and he provided before. And now we went and preached the gospel in the Andes Mountains and down in the jungle of the Amazon. And we can go even further if only we open our eyes and look at God's vision for this world. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 4 says, persevere in prayer, watch diligently with thanksgiving. Be alert in thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison. This is Paul praying from prison, and he's not asking, pray that I may be free. He's saying, pray so that the word would freely flow from here. I don't care if I'm in prison. I just want to speak the word. And you see, we need to pray for Wanda and our missionaries, because they may not be in prison, but they are being persecuted. And they may have to do secret work. They may have to do work that you don't even imagine, because we're so busy with our menial tasks around here in freedom. And we need to pray that God will open doors for them, that they may not dismay, and that they may preach the word from wherever they are, whether in hiding or not. You see, it says, this verse is saying to persevere in prayer and to be diligent. That means that I need to have faith, that I can't forget, that I need to put the effort, that I need to put my faith all the time into prayer for God's provision. You see, missionaries like Wanda go into places where nobody wants to go, where their lives are constantly being persecuted and at risk. But we're not praying for them to, for God to get them out of there. We're praying for God to strengthen them while they're there. You see, Wanda's not praying for an open door not to go to Belgium. She's praying for an open door in Belgium to share the gospel. And that's what we need to be praying. Now, I know that that's not necessarily my will. I'll tell you what I've been praying for Wanda lately. I'll tell you a little bit later. And I know some of you have been praying the same prayer as me. It's not working, Brian. It's not working, guys. She's leaving. But we got to pray also for God's power. You see, we got to pray for God's power to open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind, for God's power to go forth through the word, for God's power to enlighten those people. We think of Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. This is Paul when he presented himself before King Agrippa, and he's questioning him about this faith
And he says that he'd been saved to what? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. This is Paul testifying. This is what I've been called to. And we need to pray that many will come from darkness into the light in Christ Jesus, that their eyes may be opened, that they may see him. And as one that works with whomever group of people there, we need to pray that as she speaks, not only their ears are willing to hear, but their eyes may be opened to the revelation of Christ Jesus. So we need to pray, but we also need to give. We need to give. Guys, this stuff costs a lot of money. It is. But you know what? We look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, and it says, Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. We have been raised in a culture where it is so easy to get. It's so easy to receive. And we think of the hard work. We're always saying that we work really hard for what we get, and that's okay. God gave you the ability to work. Praise the Lord for that. And the strength, amen, and the health to work. But we know that when we compare ourselves to any nation around the world, we receive more than what we give. God's been so gracious to us. So let us think about that. And let's give according to the measure we have received from God. Our generosity should be a reflection of God's generosity over our own lives. You see, God has been showing up in our church really, really greatly and beautifully lately when it comes to our finances. And I don't do this to discourage your giving. I do this to encourage your giving even more. I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know what's going on. I have not checked the records. I have not looked. I'm not looking into who's giving or who's not or whatever. But I've noticed a trend that our tithe and offerings has been growing for the past 2 months. The past 2 months, I don't know if it's IRS check returns, you know, like bonuses or, you know, people getting money back. I don't know if it's the same people that are giving more money. I don't know if it's more people actually being obedient. I don't know what's going on. But for the past 2 months, we've seen an increase. We've seen an increase probably of about 25 to almost 30% in our tithing givings. And that is awesome. Not only that, we've increased by giving to Peru. Just that $5 that we've been talking about. Give me five for Peru. You guys have been showing up so, so wonderfully. It used to be that every week we would pick about between $20 and $30 for Peru each week. And now we're picking up between $200 to $300 for Peru each week because you've given five for Peru. And that's an amazing thing. Don't quit giving. Give. Be generous. God is a generous God. He's shown us the way, and we should be a reflection of him. God has blessed us, and it's a great thing because that gives us the capacity to go even further with the gospel. You see, we have seen how God is responding to us, so let's do what we have to do. Now it's time to extend our hands and go even further and go to Europe, Belgium. That's an amazing thing. Who knows? Maybe we can make a group and come visit Wanda over there. Amen? Yeah. See, she's screaming already. Hallelujah. You see, and the thing is that ever since God founded the nation of Israel, ever since God put together a people for himself, from the book of Genesis all the way through today, the way to finance everything that God does is through his own people. Period. Giving. Giving. That's all there is to it. And things have not changed for all these thousands of years. Doesn't matter what we do in the name of Christ, we give, and we give freely. You see, and we got to think of their generosity, Wanda's generosity, missionaries' generosity, who they give up everything that they had, or any of those idols that she was talking about, any money-making job to come work at a church part-time for very little money. But doing a great, awesome job. Let me tell you, this is awesome. And not only that, just giving, giving themselves and sacrificing themselves and willing to go wherever to trust God with his provision, not knowing where their paycheck was going to come from or anything like that. They just know that God's going to provide. Amen? That's the way to live. You don't need to be a missionary out in another country to do that. That's the way we ought to live every day. And if it wasn't for the generosity of people like Wanda, who not only give for their service, but they give their lives up and their freedom and their health and everything else in order to make the Great Commission their commission personally. You see, people that risk their lives, that leave all of their comfort. You know why? Because they acknowledge and they recognize that there are some things that are far greater than their own comfort or their own provision. They rather see the King of Kings satisfied than satisfying themselves. Because they're convinced that God has been too generous with them, and they decide to be generous in turn, just turning in everything that they possess down to their hearts and lives. And God is so generous that he gave his only son for us. Of course, you know John 3:16. It's the way it is. But we need to be giving, because God gave us the example. He gave his only son. What are you willing to give? I was reading this instruction, this illustration on a website by a man named Ken Crockett. It's pretty neat. It says, a missionary once asked a convert named Pablo, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 of them to the Lord's work? And Pablo said, of course, you know I would gladly give them. And then he says, Pablo, if you had 50 cows, would you give 25 to the Lord's work? And Pablo answered, yes, you know that I would be more than happy to give those 25 cows, and I would do that. And again, the missionary asked, Pablo, if you had 2 pigs, would you give one of them to the Lord's work? And Pablo said, that's not fair, because you know I have pigs. You see that? It is so, so easy. Many people are extremely generous in theory. If I had $1 million, I'd give half to the church. If I had $1 million, I'd give 999,000 to the missionaries out there. I'll keep 1,000 for myself. But then God says, well, you have 1,000. Would you give 500? Whoa, 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 wait a second. Who's going to pay the rent? Right? Our God is a generous God, and we need to learn. We need to learn. That is, we got to be faithful in giving in the little, and God will place us over much. It's a concept from God. But not only we give, we send. We need to be sending people. We need to be sending people all the time. Jesus, in one occasion, in John chapter 20, 21, right at the end, when he had been resurrected already, he tells his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. He's been sent, and now he's sending. As the Father sent him, he sends you and me. You see, in one that's responding to the call from God to go. God is sending her, and she said yes. God has blessed us with bringing her to our Horeb family. And if you have taken the opportunity to get to know her just a little bit, you definitely know what I'm talking about. A woman of God who's willing to give it all and lay it all down for the call and not looking back. I read this other story about a missionary called James Calvert. And he went out, he set himself out to the islands of Fiji many, many years ago, where there were actually cannibals in these islands. And right before they got to the islands, the captain of the ship tried to convince him to turn back around and said, listen, you're going to die out here. Your life is in danger. Those that are going with you and you will be eaten by these savages. You'll die. And you know what James Calvert answered? He said, we died before we came here. They had died to themselves, surrendering their lives to service in Christ. And one that's going to a place where persecution of Christians is evident. Did you hear that? She got her visa.
on the 21st, and on the 22nd, terrorist attacks. That could discourage anyone. No, but not Wanda. Amazing, huh? Would it discourage you? It discouraged me. I wanted to pray for her to stay. Amen? I'm glad you didn't say amen, because that's not the right prayer. You see, nothing's stopping her. And if you've met her, of course, you know her sweet spirit, her willingness to serve, paired up with her faith and her dependence upon God's provision. You know what I hate about Wanda? Every time I talk to her about anything, she says, "Pastor, all we need to do is pray." I'm the pastor. I'm the one supposed to say that to you. Every time I couldn't come to her with nothing, that she would say, "All we have to do is pray, Pastor." And if you take that dependence upon God and the power and the resolve that she has to stand for Jesus Christ wherever he sends her, that is very commendable. And I thank you for that one. And I thank God for you. So while we stand together at the end of the service in unity, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in commissioning Wanda to go out to the nations, let us not forget that that commission doesn't come from us. Who is sending her is her master and her king and her Lord Jesus Christ. We send those who have been sent. What do I mean by that? We need to send to those who have been sent. Now, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, this is Paul speaking from prison once again, as he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity." Well, guess what? You may have lacked the opportunity, but there's a great opportunity right now to what? To rejoice and to exercise some care for some of our missionaries, especially when you have one coming out of our own family right here. This is a great opportunity. A great opportunity to pray for Wanda. A great opportunity to give for Wanda's missionary endeavor throughout the year. And it is also an opportunity for us to send. You know, send her a letter. Send her an email. Send her a care package or something once in a while. I know she'll appreciate that. Some of you have been in the military and been out there for months and months and months, almost a year at a time at sea, and you know how much it means when you get a care package, even if it's just a can of SpaghettiOs or a candy bar that's melted and smelted and stuck to the paper, and you just open it. Because it came in a care package from all the way around the world. Oh, my God, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? She knows. So this is an opportunity for us to encourage her in her journey. What a great opportunity and blessing as God has given us to have a personal relationship with a missionary that we know is responding to the call. The call to be sent and giving it all she has. But let us not forget either that he's not only sending her, he's sending you and me too. And you know what? Some of us may not even ever step out of Gretna or wherever you live in the rest of your life. But that doesn't mean that God is not sending you. Some of us may not even leave our neighbors, our neighborhoods. All we have to do is take one step. Maybe all we have to do is go across the street. And that's where God is sending us. Because we've also been sent. Maybe God's not sending you to the other side of the world. Oh, who knows? Maybe he will. But you've been sent. So let's respond to his call. And last but not least, go. You know, when God gives you command, when he says, "I'm sending you," go, go, go. In Luke chapter 4, verses 42 and 43, when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. Check that out. That sounds like some of us praying for Wanda not to go away. But he did say to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." She knows her purpose. Do you know yours?
See, someone has to go. Someone has to go. And responding to God's call and getting out of our comfort zone or our surroundings and what we're used to and going to an unknown place, far away, isolated, away from our families, from our friends, from our church home, from all of our comfort and possessions, that might be very difficult for some of us to fathom. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that, some of us may say. But we also forget that we have to leave our comfort zone in our minds and in our hearts and get out and die to ourselves and take a step out. Whether it is just one step, that's good enough. And share the gospel with other people that are actually surrounding us. And I know you've heard some of the stories and all these great stories of missionaries in jungles and in deserts and in places and in their lives, right? You've heard them. What about some of them that tell you how they risked their lives and how they've been persecuted and suffered and all of that? And it's well beyond the capacity of a normal Christian. And you may be thinking, oh my God, I couldn't do any of that, you see? I'm not fit for that. But let me tell you something. There are no super Christians. This is one of the mistakes we make. We think that there's got to be a super Christian in order to go there and do that. You know what? God calls common people like you and me. He called a stuttering, old, stubborn man. And I mean older than dirt. Called Moses to lead almost 2 million people through a desert for 40 years. So don't even give me an excuse. Any one of us could be called, and we need to go when he does. There was a man called George Stott. He had one leg missing, only one leg he had. He was a school teacher from Scotland, and he volunteered for missionary service in China also. And when they asked him, you know, why would he go if only had one leg? His answer was, I do not see anybody with two legs going. You see, and he began a journey of 20 years of missionary work in China. God is calling common people like you and me, and he wants us to go. And maybe you've thought about it. Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe today, maybe last week, maybe a month, maybe 10 years ago, you heard a call from God and you have not responded. Well, this is the time to respond and to say, Lord, here I am, send me and go. Maybe you have lacked that commitment and God needs to work in your life. You know what? Someone has to go. You know why? Who else is going to go? Don't say somebody else will. Just say yes to God. Why? Don't be afraid, because you're not going alone. You see, he will go with you. Matthew 28 and verse 20 at the end, the second part of the verse says, and lo, I am with you always and even to the end of the age. You see, I'm with you always, all the time. No matter where you go, I will be with you. I'm coming with you. I'm not sending you alone. I will be with you. So give God the freedom to place you where he wants you to go for as long as he wants you to go. Because he will go with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what? His name is faithful. Amazing. You know, I already told you many times, and I have implicitly said this, but now I'm going to say it explicitly. If it was my choice, she would be going nowhere. And so many of us have prayed to God not to send her away and keep her here, oh God. But the will of God for Wanda to go to Belgium or wherever he takes her is greater than our will for her to stay. And he will take her, and he will not step away from her for a single second. And that's a great comfort for all of us. And just as one day
He sent her to us. Now he sends her out from us. And with that, it's time to go. It's time to go for Wanda. It's time to go for you. It's time to go for me and fulfill the great commission that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us. Father, I thank you so much for choosing us, for calling us, for having a purpose, for commissioning us. And we pray at this time, Lord, that we may be convicted of what it is that we need to do and where we need to go.